Welcome to the Web Traffic Professor Podcast.
Welcome, everybody. This is the Web Traffic Professors Podcast. I'm your co-host, Scott Patton, along with John, Paul, and Deborah Misek. Aloha.
Aloha.
Aloha, Scott. How are you doing?
Good. How's it going there?
Oh, we're doing great. Middle
you guys,
of February.
It's February. You guys must have the best lifestyle of anybody marketing online, because there you are. It's nice, warm Hawaii. And here we all, most of us, are in North America and freezing.
And we are originally from the East Coast, so we remember
how cold February
is.
Sympathize and empathize.
And every day we appreciate our life. I'm like, the other day, another friend in Hawaii, also from the East Coast, and we were talking about having a party and we were going to have a barbecue, and she's like, you know, I'm so glad we're us, because we're all talking to our friends back east, and it's freezing, and they're having snow days, and they can't get to work. And, of course, that's the nice part, but, you know,
right.
When kids are home and not going to school, and they're trying to get work done, it makes it challenging. But, yep, we're glad we have the life that we've got right now.
How did you come to decide to go to Hawaii?
Well, actually, the short version, the thumbnail version, is I had been running two contracting businesses, one of which I always intended to sell, but the other one had gotten to a growth stage where it was either I sunk $250,000 of my own money into the business to take it to the next level, which was no problem. It was a decision period whether I wanted to do that, because if I did that, that would mean obligating myself to at least another 3 or 4 years of running the business, at least what I thought at that time.
Yeah, that's a big commitment.
Yeah, and I wasn't prepared to do that. I enjoyed the clientele I dealt with, because we dealt exclusively with high-end and very wealthy homeowners, mostly just estates, 1 to 12 acre estates and very wealthy people. I enjoyed the work that we did, the company that was more service-based, I did really nothing with except oversaw, had a whole team in place and management structure there. But it was just a matter of the people we worked with on a day-to-day basis as far as our employee team. It was just not something I wanted to continue with personally.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, it was, okay, I'm going to sell the businesses. What do I want to do? And really went on a soul-searching mission. And the catalyst was a Tony Robbins conference where we had
in Hawaii.
Right?
That was the one in Palm Springs,
oh,
Date
Palm
with
Springs.
Destiny.
Still nice and warm.
Yeah, it was 5 days. We'd taken a week before and a week after, but we had 5 days solid with Tony. And anybody that's been to one of Tony's even entry level programs, you know, his days are long. We're talking 12 to 16 hour days.
That's right.
So we had actually 80 hours with nothing but our focus on ourselves and our destiny. And that's really where I came to, that was the catalyst for coming to the conclusion that I wanted to sell the businesses. And
I just wanted to live someplace warm.
So you're both motivated.
Yes.
Yeah.
And once the businesses were sold, it was like, okay, where do we want to live?
Right.
And the initial decision was San Diego, and we had actually stopped in San Diego on the way to Hawaii for a final house hunting trip. And when we got to Hawaii, after spending a month here, it was the last week, we were like, okay.
I actually was driving along the coast of Maui, and I kept putting my camcorder away. I'm like, I'm just going to enjoy the site. I'm not going to film it. And then every turn John Paul would take, I'm like, whipping out the camera, I'm like, oh, my gosh, it's more beautiful than the last one. And then he turns to me as we're going around one of the corners, and he's like, what about living here?
Yeah.
And I tell you, he did not have to ask me twice. I'm like, absolutely. So we called the Hawaii move our compromise, because I was perfectly happy with moving to Florida. I just wanted to go someplace warm. But he wanted to go north where the mountains were, up in like the Berkshires and Massachusetts, and I'm like, okay, that's colder than New Jersey.
Right.
So let's think warmth. So I thought, well, California's perfect because it's got the ocean, it's got the warmth, but it also has the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
And Hawaii was just making it that much better.
Very cool. So how long have you been in Hawaii now?
Going on 6 years.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, man, you got me thinking about beaches and surf and palm trees. And
our home is on the north shore of Oahu, and we're about 30 yards off the beach. And just to give you an idea of the topography, in the backyard, our property, we have about 3.5 acres, goes right up to the back of the mountain, and the mountain is a sheer cliff face in the back of our house, 1,200 feet. And we're 30 yards from the beach, but we're 90 feet above sea level.
So he got his
mountain?
So that
gives you some kind of indication of the type of location.
Wow, that sounds spectacular.
He got his mountains, I got my ocean. So we're happy.
Yep.
And it's warm.
You'll have to come visit.
Yeah.
I'm booking my ticket as soon as we get off this podcast.
We have a beautiful podcast, outdoor podcast area.
Let's do video podcasts,
right? Nice.
That's a great business expense for you, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And that's what we tell all of our clients. We're like, well, this is perfect because now you have a perfect business excuse to go to Hawaii. You have to meet with your coaches live and in person, you know.
That's right. That's right. Okay, so we've driven a lot of traffic to Hawaii in the last 5 or 10 minutes, and I think we should focus a little bit more on driving some traffic on the web. And you've written an excellent book, Secrets of Online Persuasion, and JP, you actually autographed this book for me at Timmy 2 in Baltimore in late 2006,
yep.
And I've been reading it, and I just think it's an excellent, excellent book. You may not know, the Internet Marketing Center came out with a book, Blogging for Dollars, and it was all based on my research for them at that time. So I think I know a little bit about blogging, and just about every second page, when you would make a point, I would go, oh, what a good idea that is. So Secrets of Online Persuasion, I think, just takes blogging to the next level. And
thank you, Scott.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, no, it's an excellent, excellent book. I can't recommend it enough. And you talk a bit about new media. So I think maybe the best place to start is, like, what is new media?
Well, new media is, and actually, it's funny, the conversation often starts around Hawaii, obviously, but that is directly related to how we actually got involved with new media marketing, which is, some people call it Web 2.0. New media is comprised of blogs, of podcasts, of video podcasts, of tagging sites, social bookmarking sites, social networks like MySpace. Everything from MySpace to LinkedIn, which is, you know, two opposite ends of the spectrum of social networking. All the tools like that are new media marketing tools, or they're new media tools, but can be used for marketing.
Right.
A lot of marketers tend to look at those tools and see an opportunity, but they're not quite sure how to take advantage of that opportunity. And that's why we really put together Secrets Online Persuasion. We actually had an initial release of the book with our students, but it was just it was too technical, and we wanted something that really opened the average business person's eyes, the small business owner, the network marketer, the sales professional, to the opportunities that new media presents. And rather than just one tool on its own, we focus on new media marketing as a complete interrelated matrix. So although our specialty is in the optimized blog as being a awesome tool for traffic generation, that really sits at the heart of what we call the Blog 360 system. And we actually have software called Blog 360, which makes online persuasion push button simple. And it really interrelates all the new media tools together so that you can leverage every piece of content, every piece of contact that you have with your audience is a connection point that's syndicated and leveraged over multiple channels with the push of a button.
Wow, very cool. And, yeah, I would totally agree with what you've been saying. It seems to me that all these tools are ways that people online interact, and those of us that are internet marketers or marketers can piggyback on these tools. They're not made, just like email wasn't made originally, I don't think, as a business tool. And we you know, use it an awful lot for business now. Mm-hmm. A lot of these tools didn't really start off as a business application so much as they did as a way for people to communicate.
Right, absolutely. Yep, you're right on with that, Scott.
So one of the things I found really interesting in Secrets of Online Persuasion was you were talking about the communication code.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not quite clear on what that is or how that works.
I'll let Deb answer that since I just talked quite a bit.
That's actually, and that's my passion, because with JP, he's always had his own businesses since he was 12. I always pursued the career track, and psychology is what I went to school for and thought I'd become a psychologist one day. And what I realized is that coaching was much more something that I was attracted to, because with psychology, you're talking about being in a therapy chair for a very long time and looking at, well, what's the history and what's the problem? Whereas coaching, it's looking at what's your communication like, what's your influence like, how do you influence yourself, and then how do you influence the world around you? So the communication code is really at the core of self-influence and where everything stems from when we're talking about online persuasion, because we want to know what our own communication code, or you can say style. And it's not personality. It's more about the way in which we speak, the words that we choose, and if you look at the pace of voice, if you look at the words, the style, the pitch, you know, if you raise your voice up, if you raise it down, some people talk very low, we call them low talkers.
Right.
You know, some people are very loud, we call them loud talkers. So there's this range of communication verbally, but then there's also a style of writing that you can find out, well, how do people think? And when we know what their communication code is, how they think, we then know how to influence them. So we tried to, in the book, again, for our clients, we have a scientific assessment. And in the book, you can't really do that. You have to give them the gist of it. So in the book, we tried to introduce them to what's the basic of finding out what your communication code is. So we asked a few questions about finding out, you know, are you someone that's more direct and to the point, or do you find yourself that you'll beat around the bush when you're trying to give feedback that may be negative to someone or a little
right.
bit constructive? You know, that's very opposite type of a person, someone who's very direct, you always know where they stand, versus someone who's a little softer and might beat around the bush to get to the point.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got the person who's very quiet but analytical and absorbs everything. And then you have the other person on the other end of the wheel who's, you know, this fun party goer, life's a party. You know,
gregarious, outgoing.
Yeah, where you right. always, you know, they're always just chatty. They'll tell jokes, but the punchline might be wrong, but they're just having a good time. So we tried to give some hints about how do you find out of just those four communication codes, who are you talking to? And then when you match and mirror that person's writing style, that person's reading habits, you know, find out in their profile on social networking sites, what types of books do they read? And those are all cues to find out how do you influence them. And when we
right.
talk about influence, it's always based on ethically influencing them.
Right.
You know, so that they hear what you have to say and they're interested in it, versus I don't even like that person, so I don't even care what they have to say, just because the communication code is a mismatch. So we try to get people thinking about how do you get the basic foundation of what's the match of communication, match it so that they'll open the door for you to speak to them.
And everything, I just want to add one thing to what Deb said. Everything, Scott, that Deb just said that applies to an individual, because some people might be listening, okay, well, that's one-on-one. That's great for once I'm making contact or working up what we call the influence ladder, where you're influencing influencers. So you're leveraging your time and impacting hundreds or thousands of people by influencing one person. That's not to get into too far in depth right now, but we call that the influence ladder. And there's a simple scientific way to work your way up the influence ladder and be able to persuade mass audiences. At the core, though, of persuading people on a audience scale, where you're targeting an audience, yes, one person at a time, is reading or listening or watching the media that you're sharing with them.
Right.
And you're connecting with them one-on-one. you have to provide a balanced approach and a balanced communication style. And most people, the vast majority of people, and I was this way up until about 96, 97, until I even became aware of these technologies, most people, they go to school and, you know, they're taught the basics and they're taught to basically follow rules, and we're never taught two things. One, which is Robert Kiyosaki's passion, is to create financial freedom, and we're not taught in school financial education. For us, it's communication and connection, and that's what creates influence and persuasion. And that's the key to all success, because all success is based on people, and that is our passion. And when you don't understand how you're being perceived by others, then we fall prey to perception is reality. That saying has been around since the dawn of time because it is true. We are, you know, when we're perceived by other people a certain way, that is reality to them. So there's nothing we can say or do to change that. You know, it takes a lot of work to change an initial impression. So we want to make sure that what we're doing online and offline, but especially in new media, because there's so many connection points, there's so many ways for people to pick up your style, that if you're coming across a certain way, and that way, say scientifically we know, turns off 83% of the population, well, you're fighting an uphill battle. You better learn to adapt that communication style. And that's in our advanced courses, that's what we help business people do.
Well, thanks, JP. You must have been reading my mind, because I was wondering how that would apply to, you know, a global marketplace, or how you would use it in podcasts or blogs or video podcasts and that sort of stuff, and you really, really answered that.
I must have sensed it, Scott. You were putting out very good vibes.
Yeah. I'm also quite interested in what you were saying about influencers. And for those of us that maybe aren't that clear on what an influencer is, could you just give us maybe an example of a couple people that are big influencers, or an example of what that would be or how it would look?
I'll give you one influencer that will bring this whole point home, and then we'll talk about some online influencers. But if everyone thinks of Oprah, whether they listen to her show or not, whether they're a woman or a man, you know, again, obviously her audiences are 90% women, but there's, you know, a few token men in there. However, I would guarantee that every man with a book would want to be on her show. Would I be right?
You bet.
So, and that's because she's an influencer. All she has to do is hold the book in her hand, and it's
a bestseller.
Guaranteed, automatic, overnight, you know, millions of copies are being sold. So that's an influencer. It's a perfect example of being an influencer.
That's an A-list influencer.
Right. So it's
top rung.
Same thing happens in the online community. There are A-list bloggers. There are A-list social network leaders. And you go after those. You know, perhaps they've authored a book. They already have an audience. And you go after them and find out, well, okay, instead of creating my own leaderboard, which you can, and we encourage you to do that, because then you're positioning yourself as a leader, and then other leaders want and other influencers want to hook up with you because you now have a group that you're the leader of. So that's certainly one strategy. And then but as you're building it, you know, there's a little bit of networking that goes on, just like in-person networking, except that in the new media, you find out, well, what are the most popular social networking sites? And what's great about it is you don't have to go around and ask people. You can look at the statistics. And, for example, on Rise, one of the popular ones back in the day, I don't know what it is right now, I can check, but Women Business Owner, it was WBO. That was one of the very popular networking sites. So naturally, that was one of the first ones I joined, and I found that that was highly active. Every day, there were many people participating. So when you had your face and you were participating there, you knew your comments and your forum posts were being read versus
they
other forums.
You weren't going into a black hole of oblivion, and you never got any feedback.
Exactly.
Right.
You know, because other networking sites, you go there and you participate, but it just stops there because no one's really reading the forum posts. No one's really participating. So that's the first thing you want to do, is find the ones that are very active. And what's great about the social networking sites is they give you the statistics. So that's what you go after, the most popular ones first. that are of interest to you. You don't go after something that, you know, if it's basket weaving, you have no interest in basket weaving, you don't join that. You join something that you are also interested in, but that's popular. So it could be, say you're a motorcycle rider, you love bikes, anything about racing or car racing, and there's a popular auto racing. Maybe it's number 10 in the top 10 that are most popular. However, it matches your hobby, your interest, your passion. That's the one that you join first because you'll be able to contribute to that. And then you get the attention of the influencer of that social networking site, and that's where you get that person's attention, and then you become an influencer of the influencers, and they introduce you and position you to their group, and automatically you get credibility because it's borrowed. It's borrowed from the influencer that everyone already knows.
Yeah, it's like when you go to a party, right? And like if I was in Hawaii with you and you went and you had a group of people over and you said, here's Scott, and then he does this, this, and this, everyone would be more accepting of me than if I just showed up on the door and sort of snuck in when no one was looking. And everyone loses
yep.
guy, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So when you're introduced, there's certainly a huge amount of influence that goes on in that case.
Exactly, exactly. It's that personal introduction. And just like in person it works, it's the same thing online, it's just a different medium.
And that's what I meant earlier, Scott, about the influence ladder, is that you can actually, when you sit back, and this is what we coach people how to do in their niche, when we're working with them one-on-one, is you go in and you can actually identify each rung of the ladder. So you can take this in any industry, in any area of new media, from blogs. You could, if you were in PR, public relations, you could go after Steve Rubel or Amanda Chappell, who are, two of the top rung bloggers in that area. And in their niche, they have tens of thousands of people per day eagerly devouring whatever they put out. For two different reasons, but you could target either one of those as a top influencer that you'd like to get to, and then you can just work backwards down and create an actual influence ladder. And again, this we go over this in our courses. It's actually, you probably remember reading this in a book as well, that if you build an influence ladder and you're manipulating people, the rungs are going to fall apart.
Right.
So, some people listening might be, oh, that sounds manipulative. No, it's honestly and ethically building relationships with people that you can build rapport with, that you like, and that you can adapt your style to and influence and persuade and build relationships with, and you build that ladder up to who those people might be. On MySpace, it could be Tila Tequila. I mean, she is a firestorm of offline activity now in terms of her singing career and her stardom and everything, but she was created on MySpace. Her stardom was created on MySpace to the point now where she has 5,000 friends joining her list every day.
Wow.
I mean, 1.8 million, I believe the last number I saw was 1.6 or 1.8 million friends. Now, obviously, those aren't friends. People who aren't familiar with MySpace might be like, well, you can't have that many friends. It's a list. If you're a marketer, you understand the list. These are her fans. And if you wanted to get to Tila Tequila, it'd be a lot more difficult now, but just as short as 3 or 4 months ago, you could use MySpace, built an influence ladder, and if you were in her niche, and obviously there needs to be an affinity and there needs to be a complementary need, then you could build a ladder and get to her in MySpace. And the same applies, we could go on across any new media tool, you can do the same thing. And it's much easier online than it is offline.
It sounds like you two are directly discussing one of my major pet peeves of the internet. And as you know, I've been involved in building websites and internet marketing for a number of years now.
Mm-hmm.
And it has always really frustrated me when I see people hiding behind their website. It's like they don't. They want to be anonymous. Like they want to make lots of money, and they don't want anyone to know who they are, and they don't want to have any sort of relationship. And so, what you're really saying is, it doesn't work at all, right? Like you need to be out there. You need to say, "This is who I am. This is my personality. This is what I'm about." Be transparent about it. Be open about it. people
and
develop buy, relationship.
Yeah, right. People buy from people they like.
That's right.
It's a fact. I mean, if you look at offline sales and you take the analogy of most people's most dreaded trip to the car dealer, you know, who do you end up buying a car from? If you're smart, you go in and you move around and you find a salesperson who clicks with you as best as possible. And if a salesperson, most, you know, a lot of car dealers and car salespeople have a bad rap because of some bad apples who just don't know how to adapt. They attack. They come with their style, which is usually very extroverted, very salesy, for lack of a better term, and they break rapport. And, you know, that's just as bad as hiding behind a desk. Because if you walked into a car dealer and a guy just held up a sign, mm-hmm. you know, a little cardboard sign, kept
cars over
down.
There?
Yeah, cars are over there with an arrow and kept his head down reading what his newspaper, you know, you'd be like, what the heck is this? You'd be out of there.
Just as bad, right?
And now with new media, with things like you're doing with podcasting, with video podcasts, with social networks, with the interactivity that a blog provides, never mind getting into an optimized blog system like we coach people how to use, you're creating a conversation. You have an online persona, and you're building a web presence instead of a website. And that's one of the biggest mistakes that anybody that's looking to market online is still making today. Mm-hmm. The majority of people are still out to build websites when they should be focused on building a web presence.
Absolutely true. So these are some of the things that you're going to be getting into more depth with in the Web Traffic Professors series?
Yes, sir.
So can you give us an idea, sort of a overview of some of the things you're going to be talking about?
Deb, do you want me to?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure, just volunteer me.
Well, I'm very conscious, as you see, Scott, and you know, because when we're in Mexico, I tend to talk quite a bit, and I have to make sure that I have equal time with them.
Well, I just wanted to say, you know, it's really refreshing, and I really appreciate the fact that the two of you communicate back and forth the way that you do, and I think what you just did there, JP, was showing a lot of respect.
Oh, thank you. I try. I have to try hard.
If we hadn't broken each other's communication code early on, sure it wouldn't be 11-plus years marriage.
We'd be another statistic.
Congratulations, 11 years. That's awesome.
Long time, right? It feels like just a few, right, JP?
Yep.
Just like yesterday we met, honey.
That's right.
So, you know, some of the things we'll be covering, Scott, we'll be talking about why new media marketing is one of the simplest, easiest ways for both the advanced marketer as well as the new person just coming online, just beginning to market online. The easiest way for them to laser target a highly segmented audience.
And pre-qualified.
Exactly.
Cool.
And
That's cool.
Everybody can talk about traffic, but getting highly targeted pre-qualified traffic
for what
who are hungry for what you have, and then you're able to then build a relationship, take that relationship to the next level, and start dating, as it were, then, you know, that's one of the things we'll be covering as far as new media marketing, why that happens and how that works, that whole dynamic.
Because, and JP and I experienced this when we first went into business and started this online type of business, is that our list was large, but it was just everyone we had known, everyone we had met, some of his clients from his other industry. So it was a large list, but it wasn't as responsive because it wasn't targeted.
Yeah.
Now, since we've met people in social networking sites, they know who we are. They join in because they've opted in, not because we've just added them and said, hey, you want to get our newsletter?
Right.
It's because it's targeted. So now, even though it's not, say, as large as when we just had anybody on there, it's much more responsive. You know, we'll get a 30%, 40%, 50%
on. No, I was just going to say over three times the response rate of a normal list. And that's, you know, that's average because you have a deeper relationship with people, and you know, again, this is a preview call, so I don't want to get too far into it, but, you know, as far as building a relationship and building rapport and keeping that rapport stable allows every marketing message to go out that goes out to have that much more impact. Hence the response, not only because the list that you're building is more targeted and segmented, focused on your product or service, but also because those people are they're not being slammed with marketing message after marketing message. They have a relationship with you. So when you come and recommend something, they trust and respect what you have to say.
Oh, man. JP, I just have to tell you, you guys sent out an email about a month ago, and I read it, clicked on the link, bought it. I forgot until you were just saying that, right? Like, it was just like, oh, this is interesting, and then you know, they think it's good, and then I read the sales letter, and I thought, wow, this is just exactly what I would like to know more about. Bought it. It was a very, very good information product. I would tell you the name of it, but it just slips my mind right now. You know?
Yeah, that's a Squidoo Boost.
That's what it was, yeah.
Squidooboost.com.
And you know what? I get emails from you, I would say, on a rarely. Like, it's not like I get one every 3 days. Like a lot
it's
of
about once a week, depending on
I get what
you're
going
on,
with that, yep.
Yeah, and so when you do send something, you say, you know, we thought this was really cool. We really recommend it, and, of course, we know each other, what you said is exactly right. I'm part of that 30 to 50% that responds to your emails.
Mm-hmm.
And it hadn't occurred to me until you were just telling us about that. And I thought, hold it. It worked on me.
Yeah.
And what's funny, Scott, about that particular that promotion, again, it was something quick, and it was something that we're like, hey, this is cool. We just want to share it, you know, and it was in pre-launch stages. So there were some bugs, you know, that had to be worked out for the strategic partner. But it's funny because that got such a great response because it was completely related to what we've been talking about with new media. So
mm-hmm.
our list was already interested in new media. So that was a new media tool. So it was a perfect launch, whereas a couple months before, there were several, you know, friends and partners that we had said, hey, here's their product. You know, this is something that they're promoting. But it wasn't necessarily the match, the synergy, where mm-hmm. this was a total match. And we got, again, it was a great response for people because it was a match. And that's what we're talking about, finding that targeted list and then speaking in your niche and promoting things that are in your niche, not things that are really not relevant to your list. Otherwise,
right.
people are like, why am I on this list? Or why are you emailing me every 3 days? You know, and it's this influence habit of they start not paying attention to you because you're always promoting something. Whereas we don't. It's rare. You know, we try to give value, teach. And then when we do come across something that's cool or when we're launching a product, it's rare, so our list is like, all right, I'll check this out.
You know, and really, Deb just said something there that makes me think back to how I got introduced to internet marketing at all back in the mid-90s with my other businesses. And Corey Rudel, who was really a pioneer,
mm-hmm. yes.
Who, you know, almost everybody knows, unfortunately isn't with us anymore, but he was a true professional. And the ratio that he gave in terms of building a list was 3 educational points to 1 marketing piece.
Yes.
And it seems like every internet marketer today has forgotten that and thrown it out the window because you will not, I dare you to find not even a reverse true 1 education point in 3 marketing messages. You're lucky if you find 1 in 20 or 30 because every contact is just trying to market or sell something. And again, that's why we're all in business is to help people with our services and products. But you know what we focus on our business coaching, and hence the new media really is built around helping professionals, small business owners, network marketers, sales professionals, those people who are looking to really build an online presence, to bring in multiple streams of targeted traffic to their front door, and with new media using blogs, podcasts, social networks, and other new media, you know we'll be covering how that approach when it's done strategically and bringing all those contact points, those media contact points together in a matrix, you can very easily and very simply bring in those multiple streams of traffic, highly targeted traffic, and do that online without offending people, without turning people off, as you're expressing yourself.
Yeah. Well, it just occurred to me how many messages that I've gotten that are selling, you know, the flavor of the month, and how, you know, angry I get after I open the 10th one from the 10th internet marketer that's basically a carbon copy of the previous one, right? Not putting any effort into it at all and not developing any sort of relationship. And, mm-hmm. you know, the sort of the feelings I had as I was opening your email versus opening those other ones, I mean, they're totally opposite ends of the spectrum, and it was just kind of interesting that it came up in our conversation today.
Well, I appreciate that feedback, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's interesting that I thought of Corey, too, because I know a lot of, you know, the leading internet marketers and you know, a lot of the internet marketers that are working their way up the ranks, and that's not our arena. I mean, we, again, are business coaches. We coach business owners and network marketers, sales professionals, but we do have an intimate knowledge because of being on the most remote island chain in the world out in the middle of the Pacific. We have to rely on online marketing so heavily because our clients are all around the world.
Right.
So how, you know, that's how we, you know, fell into new media marketing, because I really struggled with a lot of the techniques and the strategies that were being taught by internet marketers. I really felt an affinity towards what Corey taught, and towards the end, you know, there were some issues and whatnot. But you know, without getting into that sidebar, for the most part, you know, Corey really laid down the gauntlet as far as how you were to build a really responsive list, how you were to give people value, especially, you know, in his early years. And as far as I know, you know, he amassed true wealth. And having been a business owner since I was 12, you know, and being basically, we could have retired when I sold those businesses. And I won't go into dollars, but let's just say that 98% of the population would be completely happy with my passive income from investments, real estate investments, to live on for the rest of their life. But I saw a need, and Deb saw a need, and together we formed RPM Success Group to go out and help business people to learn what it is that really makes people successful in business and in life. And Secrets Online Persuasion is focusing that, laser focusing it down on the online marketing and online business building arena. And then, you know, any courses that we do around that, Push Button Persuasion is the course, and Blog 360 is the software. It's to help the business owner to leverage what's inside them and bring it out and combine it with proven marketing strategies.
So. Wow. That's I'm really looking forward to the teleseminar on the Web Traffic Professors series that you're going to be doing. I think it's just going to be awesome.
We are too.
So I think it's time to kind of wind up this podcast. I want to tell you how much I appreciate you both taking time out of your busy day to join me on the podcast. And there's one other little question I have to ask you about the secrets of online persuasion, and I hope I don't put you on the spot, but you talk about one of your favorite Indianapolis 500 races.
Yes.
And I was just wondering if you'd mind just kind of sharing a little bit of that story before we go, because I thought that was just amazing.
Oh yeah, I can remember it like it was yesterday. It was probably, 2 years ago now, because Donica Patrick had gotten injured, or I think something happened, too, with her team, and now she's switch teams, so it should be very interesting watching her progress in her career. But we're watching the Indianapolis race, and it was just so exciting. Because I had tuned in because I knew Donica Patrick was going to be in, and she was one of the things that she was set to win. I mean, people were talking about it. It wasn't just because she was the first female really in there, because there had been other female racers in the Indianapolis, but people had said a female would never win the race, the Indy race, just because of the stamina. It's a long, long race.
Mm-hmm.
So we're watching the race. JP comes in and, you know, watching the race, and of course it's racing, so he's going to, you know, check out the race. It's pretty cool. And then all of a sudden we see her break a record. Donica is the first woman to lead a lap in the Indy 500, and we're thrilled. We're like, okay, cool, this is great. She's proven that she could do it. And then she gets a setback. She goes for a pit stop, and she stalls out. Here she was. She was leading the lap, and then she goes to, like, what is it, 13th place because she had stalled out. And, of course, you know, you get panicky, right? You think, well, here she is. She's a rookie. That's another part of one of the things that she's battling against. Everyone thinks she can't do it except for her supporters, naturally. And
right.
then there you go. She makes a silly mistake. She stalls out in the pit. And psychologically, that just throws you into a tizzy because you're nervous. Now you're thinking, oh, man, the world's watching. They want me to win. And here you go, wham, I get a setback. There's no way I can win it. And her coach encourages her in her ear because they've got the headset on.
And this is after she blows through an accident, almost gets taken out of the race through an accident as well.
Right.
Spins around backwards, spins the car back around going over 100 miles an hour and ends up facing back the right direction.
So
you're biting your nails, right?
Yeah.
White knuckles.
Oh, literally on our feet. Both of us were on our feet. And actually, this is in a few moments because she made a decision. It was a very risky decision, but it was powerful. And she did it with the help of her coach and her team. But here was this coach whispering in her ear, you know, don't worry about it. Hey, I did that. I've done that before. And so all of a sudden she's like, oh, here's this guy. He's won races. Now he's my coach. Okay, it's okay. You know, it's this support and this encouragement that says, hey, it's not just because you're a rookie. It's not because you're a woman in an Indy car. You know, the
not
whole
that you
woman's
can't
driver.
Do it.
What's that?
It's not that you can't do it.
Exactly. And just whispered those encouraging words, and then all of a sudden you just saw her face get right back and get focused. So here she was in an accident. Here she hit a car and went, you know, did 360 spin, stalled out. Here she's thinking about all these mistakes, but she just kept focusing and refocusing on winning that race. And I read books subsequent, and people talk about, you know, other experts are like, man, any accident throws any driver, and then they just wind up not doing any better because they're so focused on the past of the mistakes that happened, and you just get, you know, your mind gets distracted. But
right.
I think that was her secret, and I think of it as a business owner is, you know, how many times do we mess up or do something or make a mistake or we make rookie mistakes? But here, you know, is a support system, our coach, and they're encouraging us to keep going and keep focusing. And what she decided to do, and again, this is agreed upon with her coach, you know, advising her, here's the pros, here's the cons, and the team analyzing, they said, you know, if you don't pit when everyone else pits in the next stop, you'll be able to get back into first position, and you may just be able to win this race, but the risk is, you also might run out of gas.
Oh, no.
So here she had to make a decision. Do I stay in 13th place and keep fighting to get first, which is almost impossible? You know,
yep.
You only have so many races to win. Or do I make a risky decision, but I'll be first, and I'll be leading a lap? And in Donica Patrick's style, and that's why I think I'm a raving fan of hers, is she decides to take the risk, do what most other people would never do, because it could be a sure bet of not winning at all, not finishing it, because she could run out of gas. But she just felt that she's always done well in her fuel efficiency. She could do it. And as a result, she didn't just break one record of leading one lap. She went on to lead over a dozen laps as first place.
Wow.
So, again.
And the final laps.
Yeah, it was the final laps of the race, and this is where JP and I were both literally standing on our feet, you know, in our living room watching this show, and everyone else in the stadium is on their feet, and here are these, you know, 56-year-old men waving their caps in honor and respect and awe of just good racing. So it was just this exciting, momentous occasion, and again, the results, she didn't wind up getting first, but she went pretty close to it. It was a fourth-place finish, which was pretty darn good,
wow.
Especially
yes.
since
after
everyone
she stalled
was,
out.
Yeah,
she
after stalling out and getting into
line.
An accident. So for me, it was really the lesson of, you know, pushing on and the encouragement of when you have a coach and they guide you and say, hey, we've made those mistakes before. That's not going to kill you. Keep focusing on the prize. What do you want to accomplish? And that's what drives you to finish. and to break records, because there she was. While she didn't get first place in that race, I still believe she can do it in future races. She broke more records than anyone did, and she won Best Rookie of the Year. So it's just a powerful lesson for all of us business owners to keep our eye on the prize. Don't let distractions pull us away from our mission. Go after what your life's purpose and what your life's goal is, and you just might get, you know, thousands of people on the stage waving their cap at you because you've stood out and you've done something to make a difference.
Awesome. Well, I think that's a great place to end this particular podcast. Once again, I want to thank you both for joining us all the way from Hawaii.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're all jealous, unless we happen to be listening to you in Hawaii, in which case we know what it's like there, right?
It's a good jealousy. It's like a live vicariously through our son, right?
That's right. I'm going to come down there and do a podcast from your outdoor studio. I think
absolutely.
Definitely.
Anytime.
Great. Well, this is Scott Patton with the Web Traffic Professors Podcast. Hope you've enjoyed our podcast, and we look forward to our next one. Goodbye, everybody.
Aloha.
Thanks, Scott. Aloha.